We have the wonderful Brittany Muscat, also known as the Pet Girl, on the podcast today to discuss the role of dog breed genetics and how we can harness our dog's strengths while managing their limitations. If you're in the process of choosing a puppy to become a future therapy dog, this episode is definitely for you. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Therapy Dogs Australia podcast. I'm Max, the social media manager for Therapy Dogs Australia, and we've got Sam King, the owner of Therapy Dogs Australia. How are you going, Sam?
Going fantastically. Thank you, Max. Very excited.
Oh, amazing. Wonderful to hear.
You're a celebrity amongst us.
Oh, stop it. I can't deal. I knew you were going to do that. Get it in your face. Could go and join all my friends.
So leading on from that, we've got the pet girl, Brittany Muscat, with us tonight.
I'm just an average Joe Blow from suburbs of Brisbane. Nah. Hey, everyone. It's really good to be on the podcast.
Yeah, again. It's great to have you.
Yeah.
Do you want to give the listeners a bit of a background for those who don't know who you are? I'm sure a lot do.
Oh, who would that be?
Can you just stop? It's so much.
Sorry, go.
Okay. my name is Brittany and I am the pet girl. So I'm less pet girly these days, but I have a full-time job now in the pet industry, but prior to that I was a professional dog trainer and I'm qualified in animal nutrition and strength and conditioning for sports and performance dogs. So back in the day I used to run classes with my bestest friend Julia and other bestest friend Bree, and we had Julia and I had a business called That Dog School, and so between private sessions we did That Dog School, we used to do therapy dog work, we also used to run like multitude of classes, we were operating on the Gold Coast, but I sadly moved to Brisbane, unfortunately I'm not a dog trainer anymore, but I still post things on the Pet Girl. I love the Pet Girl. The Facebook page and the Instagram page. Yeah, so that's a bit about me.
Love that.
I joke, but I've been following the Pet Girl for years.
Really?
Years and years and years and years.
Yeah. The content has changed. It has changed. It's do you know, I think the start of the content, I was really combative. And I was like, there are issues that need to be told, and it kind of all shifted. I went through a huge focus when we had the fresh food feeding group. So I also work alongside Sasha Packer from the Balanced Canine in Sydney. She is another one of my amazing best friends. And we run a group called Fresh Food Feeding for Dogs, Kibble Feeders Welcome. And we've had that group for a while now, and it's like now home to almost 110,000 members. It's incredible. So my passion is definitely gone from being, I post a lot of pet stuff, on the Pet Girl page, but I do post nutrition stuff from time to time. And then now my latest posts have all to do with my newest little puppy. I shouldn't say my, cause Rob will be on my case. Or some would say his, Staffordshire Bull Terrier puppy called Maggie, affectionately known as Howzo 2.0.
I've loved seeing the play pens that you were setting up for Maggie. That was next level.
Do you know, it is a bit of an addiction of mine. I'm only just
Hi, my name is Britt.
Hi, my name is Britt. And Kmart is my favorite place to be.
Isn't it?
Oh, don't
best. Everything.
It's just
everything.
It's so exciting in Kmart. I love it.
Heaven.
So how old's Maggie now?
Oh, she's 17 weeks now. Oh, she's either 17. Yeah, I think she's 17 weeks yesterday, possibly, or 16, 17 weeks. She's in that mark right there.
Yeah. So she's still a little baby.
She is still a little baby. She makes me so proud. I had the most extreme experience this afternoon and I was saving it. I didn't want to tell you before we started recording. I felt like I needed to tell you whilst we were recording because there's only one time you can tell the story. So do you mind if I tell the story?
Go for it.
Okay, got it. So you've got a 17-week-old puppy and, like, a slight detour backstory. My first ever dog that I've got three dogs currently. I've got a Shetland sheepdog called Binti, who is 9 this year. I've got a border collie called Vixen, who's 5. I've got a cat who is named Bullseye, who's almost 6. And then we did have a Stafford called Lucy, who sadly passed away. And then we got Maggie. Now, Vixen was my first dog that I had as a dog trainer, and she was terrifying to me. It was just so terrifying. And I was so worried about every experience, every novel experience, that when I used to take her out, I used to, like, almost hyperventilate. And I'm pretty sure I used to call Julia 9 times out of 10 and call her crying and saying, "Vixen didn't take my food. Is she going to be ruined forever?" It was horrific. Like, honestly, it was really bad. And then I got Maggie, and, like, so much as my life has changed. So I'm, like, 5, 6 years, you know, 5 years along, and I just feel so much more prepared for a puppy. And so my experiences when I go out are a lot different to what they used to be with Vixen. You know, I used to be on edge. But anyway, today I was completely not on edge, and it clearly showed when it was a total cluster that happened. So I'm practicing. I did my walk and I had my dogs all, like, doing things. So I had Binti and Vixen on a like a boundary, and I had Maggie tethered, and I was working on Maggie being tethered whilst I worked the other dogs, and then I swap and rotate them all. So Binti's on the thing, I get Vixen out, and I'm starting to do some tricks with her, and, like, whatever. Just the whole point of it is just really so Maggie can see her working. And all of a sudden, Binti breaks her boundary and comes running over to me and is like, "Muh, muh, muh, muh." And I'm like, "What? Binti never breaks her boundary. She's a perfect angel. What is going on?" And I just looked around, didn't even see anything. Next thing you know, Vixen, she goes, block your ears, she goes, she looks like a hyena, her all her hackles up, and I look, and there is a man or a child, I don't know, in an inflatable T-Rex costume.
Oh my god!
Right towards me, going, ah! So I've got Vixen going, ah! I've got Binti run away. She's gone. She's now up.
See ya.
Grass somewhere.
Because you're on your own. I tried to warn you.
I've got Maggie staring at this thing, just being the perfectest little angel, just, like, going,
"Oh, bless her.
Like, what is going on?" I'm frazzling, going, "Oh my god, this is a first, like, this is a proper novel experience. Where's my phone? I need to film this. This is content. Vixen, shut up." Like, it is a total shit show. And there's just food, Prime 100 flying everywhere, dropping keys, dropping phones. Maggie's sitting there the whole time. Vixen, I'm like, "Vixen, enough." I throw her food so she's fine. And then the person just runs off. And I'm just like, "Oh my gosh, I need some positive reinforcement right now." Anyway, I'm like, "Need to get back here." Everyone was fine. All the dogs were fine. Everyone recovered. But I'll tell you what it highlighted. Number one, it was just, like, the best experience. But what it highlighted to me was that, God, genetics are different. And it's just,
right?
Like, they're so different. Like, on one hand, you've got this Staffordshire Bull Terrier that just doesn't care for an inflatable T-Rex running at her and doesn't, like, flinch a muscle. It's just like, "Are we done? Like, is this, are we, are you, am I, is it my time to play with the ball? Like, what are we doing?" Vixen, on the other hand, I have spent hours and months and years into building on novel experiences because she is a border collie and she's designed to notice novelty. And what I can take away from this is I rang Julia, because I always ring Julia or Brie directly after an incident that involves my dogs. And I ring Julia and I'm like, "You are never going to believe what happened to me." And I said to her, "Do you know something? Like, what it highlights to me is that we train so hard with our herding breeds and our working breeds, right? We train so hard not to prevent them from having that initial reaction. They'll never not have that initial reaction. I mean, some might, but that alert to novelty is genetically what they're designed to do. But what we train for is the resilience, the comeback mm-hmm. to not be on yeah. edge for the next week after a really traumatic experience like that. But I just couldn't believe my 17-week-old Stafford just doesn't yeah. care. I'm yeah. like, I am winning in dog training. Yes.
Especially with like her older dogs reacting too. Like you would.
Oh, that's
like,
why I was so fixing. Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah. Stabilize like, yourself. You're making a fool of yourself. You're a grown up.
You're trying to not make it a big deal, right? Like you're trying to be yeah. like, it's okay. It's fine. Meanwhile, yeah. you're like fiddling with your phone trying to film it.
Good girl.
I know there's like, and I'm like, throw it away. But honestly, it was, you can't, like, Julia said to me, all this stuff happens to you. Nothing ever happens to me. And I'm like, consider yourself lucky, mate. Like, consider yourself lucky. But anyway, that was my rogue story, but I thought it was really funny, and I'm possibly not over it. I think I'm still in my, like, sympathetic nervous system fight or flight. The dogs are fine. They're chilling. They've trained for this. They have trained for this.
Yeah, this is not a drill.
Need some decompression, Britt. Oh, my goodness.
That's what happens when you move to Brisbane, although you probably would see even crazier stuff on the Gold Coast, really, to be honest. Good times.
Yeah. It was great. It was a great series, but I was just so impressed with Maggie. And but it just does go to show, like, and highlights the point of when you get a puppy. Like, I guess the biggest point that I take away from that, although I've been so much more relaxed with Maggie, when you get a puppy, you know, you can't just follow, like, one trainer blindly, because yeah. I think yeah. that you can't follow one style blindly, because what you do for one dog is different. And I think Vixen was so much harder of a dog to to critically period
yeah.
socialize than Maggie has been. Maggie hasn't even reacted. The only thing that she's remotely been like, what the hell, is when Vixen ran through the sliding door and took it off its hinges. And she was like, burr. And I'm like, it's just a door, it's fine. She's like, okay, it's just a door, it's fine. Like,
what a relief. That's so nice for you, isn't it?
It's an amazing experience, critically period socializing a Stafford. It's like, just, it kind of feels like a walk in the park. That being said, though, they can get a bit crazy with their people greetings and their dog greetings and stuff like that. So there's like pros and cons. Rob said it the best. I rang Rob and told him, of course, and he's like, God, there's pros and cons of both, isn't there? And he's so right. He's bang on. There is, like, there's, you know, Staffords do things that you just like, I'm going to kill you, but not really yeah. love you.
Yeah.
Like what though? Can you give us some examples?
I think the strengths and limitations, like, conversation, like, it's the same thing as the pros and cons, where it's like, okay, so you're not fazed by much, so you're a confident dog, so that's good. But where does that lead us? Like, where does that, you know, do we end up in overconfidence? Like, where does that go? And in what situations is that helpful for us? And in what situations is that like, hey, babe, so tone it down just a notch.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines is, we're not doing that.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Like, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
I'm drawing the line.
The Staffords are different in the sense that, like, with Vixen, I'll use Vixen and Maggie because they're both dogs that I raised as a dog trainer. And so, mm-hmm. admittedly, I've done a post on this on the Pet Girl. Admittedly, like, Vixen, I got Vixen at a time when I was in the dog sport community. Well, more specifically in, like, the agility community and the flock, like, not really flyball, but in the agility community. And there was a lot of, at that time, I felt a lot of pressure. Whether there was actual pressure or I placed that pressure on myself, I also got a dog from my agility coach. My breeder was my agility coach. So, and her sisters and her brothers went to, like, one is doing, like, human remain, like, search and rescue in
cadaver.
America.
Yeah.
One went back to America. One is in New Zealand. I'm not sure what he's doing. He's being a pet dog. Another one is like a champion agility dog. And like, I was just a person that was starting out in agility and got my first Ferrari. Mm-hmm. There were bound to be crashes. Like, there really were. So, yeah. So I think Vixen was a different time. And I, like I said, I did a post on this where I compared, you know, the things that I've learned from Vixen. And I'm so grateful for my experience with Vixen, because if I didn't have that experience, I wouldn't be prepared for Maggie. Mm. But there's differences. So I'll give you an example of a difference. Now, Staffords are like something else. Like, they've got their, like you said, their pros and their cons. One of the things that we've identified is that I don't like to say that dogs are, Rob calls them belligerents, but like,
yeah,
not vindictive, but like, they are, I have found in the two Staffords that I've now been a part of, they're like, they don't like a drastic change happening mm-hmm. in their world, and they often will act out and do a really weird behavior when a drastic change happens. So an example of that is with our, like with Vixen and Binti, they are like suitcase dogs. They can literally go anywhere and be totally fine. They can go to somebody's house and just cope and be fine. If I change the furniture, they don't care. They've been through so many moves and so many life changes that they literally do not have any issues. Lucy, our previous Stafford, on the other hand, when I moved in, that was a big change for her. She had to tolerate, you know, new dogs, new life, whatever. The thing that was the straw that broke the camel's back for her was the day we moved in my big couch. And
like, that's and it.
That's it. Too much.
I've had a gutful.
She had a gutful, and it was actually a really unfortunate circumstance. Rob came off night shift and he actually came home. She had an outside like area courtyard. She was on her own at this point. And a bush turkey had, I'm pretty sure it was bush turkey, it was feathers. A bush turkey had gotten over, and she'd been around bush turkeys before and we'd not had an issue, but there was the remnants of a bush turkey, and that remnants tracked all through the house on every one of the pillows, up the walls. You name it, every bed, every couch, everything.
She's like, we're redecorating, are we? Are we?
So, this is what I think about the couch.
That's right. And Rob was like, oh my gosh, my dog has never done this. What is happening? And I'm like trying to be all calm and dog training, like I know what I'm talking about. I'm like, yeah, it's just normal. It just changes, life changes. anyway, never happened again. She was totally fine. She was around Bullseye. She was like quite good with other animals. So that was a really unfortunate circumstance for that bush turkey. But anyway, I digress. So now Maggie, right? Yesterday, I was just, you know, we were just talking about this prior to recording the podcast. I've actually had to start transitioning Maggie to sleeping with the girls and in a crate with the girls, because there is going to be a time next week that I have to go away for the night and we have dog sitters coming and going. And we won't have someone to let her out of her crate or out of her pen. So the first step that I did was took away her puppy pen inside and just had her crate. So last night she just slept in her crate, which the change is that she didn't have a pen and her little like grass patch, which I don't think she uses anyway, but it's changed.
How'd now, she go?
She was fine. She sleeps in the crate fine. She doesn't have any issues. She was sleeping right through from day one. So no issues there. Now she has been toilet trained like pretty much, there's been hit and misses with it, but she's been consistently toilet trained for the last couple of weeks. Today, out of nowhere, right, she walks from being outside on grass. She walks in, I'm sitting on the couch reading my book, drinking my morning coffee at like 6:30 in the morning. She walks in on the rug. She looks at me and she just pisses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
cop that.
What?
And I'm like, no.
That's like a Superman nose. Her little ears go back and she just runs out. And I'm like, we're going to chase her. So I'm like, she's like, but the thing that was crazy to me is that she looked at me and made eye contact with me and was like, and
I'm like,
you've never done that. When has that ever been okay? We've never done that. And
take my playpen, I'm taking your rug. How does that sound? Huh?
I know.
We're taking each other's shit, are we? Are we taking each other's shit? Here you go.
Spicy. Oh no. Where there's pros where she's like can just tolerate anything, she also can't tolerate dramatic changes in the house. And she will get more resilient, but also, like, you're really comparing apples and pears. Like, they're different. Just so different. But, yeah, Staffords, I feel like, are a bit like, screw you. I'm not happy about that. It's just changes.
They
just
I'm going to let you know.
They do, man. They I don't know if you've yet owned a Stafford. They're like,
no.
They're dirty at you. They get dirty at you. Like, if you tell her off, she's like,
yeah, yeah.
Has an offended face. Like, her little ears go down and she stares. She's like,
I do think they're a really sensitive breed. Like, you know, they're more like emotive as a breed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're strong and stoic and brave.
They are very
but they're
stoic.
Also, they're so connected to you.
Absolutely.
As like you're a part of their pack. And so when you're like, that's why they get such bad separation anxiety, I feel. Like, because they're like, oh, hang on a second, get back here now. And you see that separation anxiety in that breed and others, but you see it escalate to like, cool, well, I'm having an emotional meltdown and I'm going to destroy everything that I can get my hands on in this house. And if that means I'm ripping my nails out at the same time, then so be it. So this is just, I think it's that emotional intensity that they have, where if you flip that on, okay, emotional intensity. So when it goes pear-shaped and they get anxiety, it's like a lot of anxiety. But you could look at that on the other side as the pro and go, oh, their emotional intensity in terms of like bravery and in terms of like that's like social connectedness sort of stuff to you, they're so high on that scale. Like they're the kind of dog that would like, yeah, they're just so loyal and really,
I think
they're very sensitive in all their feelings.
Particularly the separation anxiety that you see in that particular breed comes a lot from the fact that I've learned this, Staffords, they like to be on you and with you, and people love that. People love feeling needed and wanted. Like, there's nothing – Vixen and Binti are quite independent, and Vixen in particular is like, look, hey, let's have a little like – and then she's kind of like, get away from me. Like, she's just – goes off and does her own thing. She's happy to sleep on her own in a whole separate room of the house. She's happy to be on her own. Same with Binti. You know, Binti kind of just plots around doing her own thing.
My border collie's like that.
Yeah, they're just like, they're kind of like just happy to do their own thing. Whereas Staffords show you from the get-go, they're like you're sitting on the couch, I can chill and I can be on the couch. And they just like lay down on the couch with you. And then you're like, okay, well, we're getting up and we're running amok. They're like, well, let's run amok together.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, I think the thing – what's that? There's a meme on that. It's like, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah, I love that. You know, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah, that's right. Son of a bitch, I'm in. So that's the attitude that I feel like Staffies give you, and people can go too far with that, whereas, like, one thing that we've made certain with Maggie is that we've really created that independence from the get-go. So not only is she not with the dogs all day, she has time on her own. She has time away from us. She has time where she is on her own with us there, without us there, without the dogs. And there's so many degrees of separation in all of those little things. And then she has time where she has to learn and navigate the world together. So it's I think that's an important part of puppy raising for any breed, but particularly those socially like intense dogs.
I agree, and I think it's a big part of the development of a young dog to grow them into an adult dog. One big piece of the puzzle is the breed of the dog and the traits that come with the breed of that dog. And then another big piece of the puzzle is the individual dog. And then another big piece of the puzzle is the handler, because so often we're not quite fully aware even of ourselves, of what we're doing as the human. And then this young dog is like picking up on stuff that we don't even realize that we're doing. So you might just be thinking, you know, get a little pup and, oh, they want to cuddle, I want to cuddle, like, great. And not realizing that, like, oh, hang on a sec, what does this look like in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, when I can't just cuddle you every time you want? And that might be because someone, maybe you have a baby And you're like, okay, well, now I'm breastfeeding. Like, I can't cuddle you right now. And, you know, your little Velcro Staffy is going to be like, listen, I understand.
Yeah. I'm your baby.
Yeah. I'm also a baby. And I'm your little baby forever. And I love you very much. I'm your special little baby. So, you know, there's those things that I reckon that, yeah, I think that, and that's what I think is cool to talk about today is like the development of a young dog, considering breed traits and how to, every single breed has got pros and cons. Every single 100%. Breed's got strengths and limitations. How do we harness those strengths and build them? And then how do we manage limitations and try to help a dog navigate through life going like, yeah, okay, I understand that you're a border collie and, you know, you're very tuned into your surroundings and all that sort of stuff, but I don't need you to do that right now because we're just walking down the street or whatever. But here's a way that you can do it. And it's this activity here where you can practice, you know, whatever it might be, your stalk or whatever. How are we finding ways for you to exhibit what it is that your whole insides are telling you what to do? And then the modern world that we have brought you into and domesticated you into, we're telling you, no, you can't do all those things.
Something else that stood out to me that you said, and I think that this is so underlooked and talked about, is you really need to understand your own personality prior to buying a dog. So you can have in your mind, you can have the surface level is the example of you buy an active dog thinking that you're going to exercise more when you're not that person.
Mm-hmm.
But more specifically, break that down even further. Something that I learned really quickly with Vixen, well, with Binti firstly, and then with Vixen, is that with Binti, when I started agility, I was learning, I was making a lot of mistakes, and I'm quite a vocal learner, like, oh, I'm an idiot. Oh, damn it. Oh, okay, try again. And I'm loud and I'm big and I've got a big personality. And Binti was a sensitive dog. And so when she made a mistake, even though I had absolutely, I genuinely had no, I'm like, that was my fault. Like, I did the wrong thing. She's like, oh, what did I do? You're mad at me. It's like, no, I'm not mad at you. I'm just, and then I'm like, oh, this is not working. You're sensitive and I'm just trying to navigate this. And so it was a mess. So then I got Vixen thinking, okay, like, she's a bit more like, nah, let's go again. Come on, let's go again. Now, the thing with Vixen is that she's so fast. And I'm not that fast. Not just physically, but mentally too. Like, sometimes I'm training her and I'm literally standing there and she's backwards spinning around me. And I'm just laughing because I don't know what to do. Like, I'm like, I'm going to start laughing. I'm like, today I was working on her front and like her front where she puts her front and she literally shoved her nose where it shouldn't go and like almost climbed up inside of me. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, but I'm just laughing because she was so intense and so forward. And I'm just like, it's awesome. So then I met Lucy, who is like, you make a mistake. And you're like, oh my God, I made a mistake. And she's like, doesn't even flinch, doesn't even care. But then also she was a little bit like, they're smart, but they're not like border collie smart.
Yeah.
And so she gives me time to work it out. Now, that's why I think I'm loving training Maggie, because like, we're at the same pace with each other. Like, we're at the same level with each other. So the moral of the story, we can wrap it up right there. Am I a Howzo? Yes, no, Shane.
Yeah, yeah. You're a 17-week-old Staffy. Yes.
I haven't. I've hit my peak. That's my peak. But, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you really need to pick the kind of dog that is not just going to match you on a physical level, but matches your personality. And whilst I have a lot of empathy, and, like, I see Binti, I call her Booge. I see Booge struggling and I want to help her. Like, I genuinely want to build her up, but it's not necessarily our intentions that we should be going off. It's about who we actually are when it doesn't work out and what we need to, what, how we cope with stress as well, because Vixen doesn't need me to be floundering around, throwing my phone, dropping Prime 100. She needs me to have my stuff together and go, nah, we're doing this, go over there, do this, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And like today, really classic example, I didn't have that for her. We've recovered because she knows me now. We've learned each other, and you can always learn each other and develop each other, but it's a lot harder of a ride than it is when you find the dog that you match with, you know? Yeah. And I think Matt is more of that dog for me.
I think as well, like, about that is becoming the person that your dog needs you to be too.
Yeah.
If you're open to that sort of journey, I talk to people about that with Brumby training stuff too. And even from like parenting, the kids that I work with and their parents, like the same thing happens with humans. So anyone that's got a human child, you know, like that little thing comes out of you and then they're their own person and they've got traits of you and things like that, but they're just like living, they're their own life. They're doing their own thing. And sometimes that little human needs you to become a new and improved version of yourself to meet their needs as the parent, you know? So I think leaning into that and filling the gaps between you and your dog or you and your horse, which you're never going to fill all the gaps. Like that's, and that's boring anyway. But if you can like rise to the occasion a bit for your dog, I think I feel good about that when I can identify like, okay, this horse or this dog or whatever needs me to be a little bit slow, a bit more patient, or, you know, those sorts of things, then I can like put that on my to-do list and go like, okay, so like,
need to go to therapy.
Need to have a bit of therapy, do 12 some months of work. Therapy. Try to deal with this issue for myself.
It's funny because it's Dougie. Like when I got Dougie, he's a Groodle. He's very, you know, mama's boy. He's very clingy and, you know, we've worked on that. But I didn't expect to have to work on myself with like leaving him at home. Mm-hmm. Like that was actually so unexpectedly hard. Like you have like the plan when you get a puppy and you're like, okay, I'm going to leave them for like, you know, short bursts and we'll build it up. But he was really like, he really struggled with like separation anxiety, and he came from another family. So he'd had a lot of disruptions already. So he's 3 months old when he came to me. So I can understand that. But like, oh, the challenges with like what I had to go through just for my own, like, okay, like he's fine. Like he's safe. Like what's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that I'm struggling probably more than he is in that situation. So we've figured it out, but like it was really surprising, like what I had to deal with to leave him at home comfortably.
But it's like, good that you recognize that though. That like self-reflection and insight part of it is maybe sometimes skipped over or missed if we're just busy with our life or whatever. And that might be when we go like, oh, there's something wrong with this dog. Like, you know, the dog doesn't do whatever. Or I think a really good example is reactive dog owners who, you know, even if they know that like, oh, it travels down the lead and, you know, I'm a part of the puzzle. Have you been to therapy? Like, have you addressed it? Because there'll be more to that. And a lot of the time, yeah, things happen and whatever, this wouldn't apply to everybody, but a lot of the time there is something that you could develop there to support and fill that gap for your dog. Even if it's the case that it's letting go of a previous experience, which is really hard to do. And I know it's awful if your dog has been bitten by another dog or attacked or been given a really big fright. I just reckon it's something that most people could probably identify if they did that self-reflection and worked through it, you know?
The it's dog pretty needs special it. Thinking about that though, like how connected they are to us, like more than we realize, and how effective they are.
Oh, it's it's something else. Like they're just so connected to us on such a such a like a real deep, like a real just unspoken just something. Mm-hmm. There's something there. That's why, honestly, when everyone's like, oh, what's your favorite animal? I'm like, dogs, man. Like, obviously, it's like people are like lions and I'm like, dogs, man. They're like the best. Like, why?
They are the best.
Yeah.
But 100%. They do teach you a lot. And I do think, especially when it comes into puppy raising, I'm very grateful for my experiences with my other dogs because I don't think that I would be able to handle Maggie and it wouldn't be as easy. Maggie is an easy puppy. Like she's predictable. We have all the parameters in place. She still does things where makes me want to rip my hair out, like today weeing on the rug. But at the same time, like I laugh. Like it is what it is. Like you only get them as a small little being for such a short period of time. It does. It really does. And I think you just try to be better every day. And like, even as a trainer, and you guys would know, even as trainers, you still look back and think, oh, I'll do that differently next time.
Yeah.
I'd change that and stuff. And it's definitely the same with Maggie. But yeah, I've loved having a puppy in the house. And I don't think I could really live without a Staffy in the house as much as I'm like resistant to.
Because you've identified their spirit animal, Brit.
I am probably a Stafford. Just a bull at a gate, a bull in a china shop.
Yes.
Just no social awareness at all.
Love me or hate me, I don't care. Whatever.
I just love all the people, but people don't love me.
Nah. What's going on here? Nah. What's their problem?
The funny thing is, what I love is I've actually started trying to call Maggie by her name, which is
she doesn't know it.
No, because just Staffords are just like Howzo is short for Housing Commission, and we just joke and say that Maggie, like, there's so many comedians that say that Staffies are bogan dogs, and they're such bogan dogs, like they really are, especially when you're a blue one. Like, what is a blue one? Anyway, whatever. But we call her Howzo, and like the other day I called her and she didn't even acknowledge it, and then I'm like, Howzo, and she's like, hello, and I'm like, oh, you think your name is that? We need to change that.
Uh-oh. So,
Maggie, and I keep saying it in a really sweet voice. I'm like, Maggie, and she's like, that's not my name.
She's chosen her own name.
I reject that.
But yeah, it's been great having a puppy in the house again. It's definitely, it's good. It's slowly healing our hearts from losing Lucy. Like I don't think I never realized the impact. I've never lost a dog as an adult, and I didn't realize the profound impact that it has. Mm-hmm. Still even today, you think of the animal that you've lost, and your heart just shatters all over again, and it's just it's something else. But the pro is that. Not the pro, but like I guess the silver lining or the something in it is that the day that Maggie was born was the day that Lucy died. So we hope that there's a little bit of Lucy, if you're a bit woo woo, but if you're into it, I hope that the spirit's all connected and there's a little bit of Lucy in that dog, which I think she does things. I'm like, God, that's Lucy. What are you doing? Stop doing that.
I'm here for that. I think absolutely that she lives on in little Magsy. So definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So do you think, Britt, with the confidence, this with this pup, because I'm thinking about, all of our students that are, in our puppy schools and all that sort of stuff, they are fumbling through this puppy period, and it's stressful because most people that are in our puppy schools, for sure, they're trying to develop a dog into a therapy dog. And I can see it's a bit tricky to balance like the lackadaisy sort of approach of like, she'll be right kind of thing versus that real, like, over helicopter parenting, freaking out sort of thing, which can, you know, both ends of that spectrum can be unhelpful. Do you think that, like, drawing on my own experiences as well, every puppy that I've gotten has been easier? Like, it's almost, you know, like, it's like an experience thing around, yeah, well, I learnt from that one. Like, this worked for that one and didn't work, and this worked for this one, didn't work. And, you know, do you think that there's I experience part of that confidence there, just in case people are listening being like, how do I become okay with this puppy?
I think, you know, the biggest lesson that I learned with Vixen and that I've taken into Maggie is that drop the expectation that your dog is going to be something. And I think that if you take that away and you drop that pressure of assuming that that dog is going to be a therapy dog or an assistance dog or a this or a that, obviously that's an ideal world. I wanted Vixen to be my agility dog. I wanted her to be my demo dog. I wanted all those things. And I inadvertently, accidentally, stunted a lot of my own confidence, which made me, I guess, fumble on my own abilities. I know that I'm a capable dog trainer, but I fumbled on like stuff that is like I talk to people about I was talking to people about every single day, and I'm fumbling and crying of why my dog doesn't respond to my marker when I know I understand environmental like hierarchies and stuff like that. And I just think that had I have just taken all that pressure away and not cared about any of it and just gone, you're going to be what you're going to be, and my job is to just make A, you have a good time, and B, keep you alive, safe, mm-hmm. and get you through this, and mm-hmm. be adaptive to change every single day, I would have had a different dog with Vixen. Mm-hmm. Not that she's problematic. She's what she is. She's like a border collie, performance border collie, but I've taken that in with Maggie, and there are days that I wake up where it's like a total shit show. Like, it really is. You know, mm-hmm. she's in the morning, she's, I don't know, she's done something that she shouldn't have done. She's gone downstairs and harassed the cat. I can hear her barking at something, and I'm just like, oh, get your dog. It's like 7 a.m. Give me a break. I go, okay, I had all these plans for today. I had these plans of like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then I go off to work and do all these things, and I come home and do all these things. I have to be adaptive in that moment and go, okay, well, what is it that you need from me today to get you through the day and keep everybody in the house safe from your velociraptorness? How do we navigate that? And I think that's also been the thing that has helped me keep my cool with the amount of chewing and biting that mm-hmm. as a not just a puppy but as a staffy exhibits. Like, she's entered into teething, she's got those teeth are coming through, she is chewing stuff now. I seriously, the amount of toys that are just like confettiing at the moment is just out of this world. But taking every day as it comes and seeing, okay, like, where's your vibe at today? Okay, you're trying to chew hard things. You're trying to chew, like, she hasn't, thankfully, she hasn't chewed a single thing that's inappropriate. She hasn't chewed a single thing that's inappropriate, like no furniture, no shoes, no nothing, because she's had so many appropriate outlets. And that comes from experience. That comes from knowing, like, I never, ever not have a chew in my house. I never not have a fresh cow hoof hanging around. Like, I've always got a toy.
How good are cow hoofs? What? They're cheap.
Yeah.
I'm over here buying deer antlers and goat's horns like a goddamn millionaire. And then I go into the shop and they've got cow hoofs for $3. And I was like, what is this?
You're paying $3. You're overpaying. Go to a project store. Like $1.50, like
what? It's outrageous. I won't name the store then.
Produce stores and like buying them in bulk. But like you switch on to these things, you end up having like your go-tos and your stuff. And you know, like, you just learn, and that comes with experience. But I have to say, it's easier said than done, but don't stress when you have a bad day or when you have a bad experience too. Like, if you go out and your puppy's like, oh my God, what's that? Just, okay, reset, it's not a big deal. The more pressure and the more like energy you put into it, getting it right and it being perfect, the worse it is going to get. I know yeah. this from experience. It will get worse because you start doing weird stuff and your dog's like.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And that's the thing too that I learned as well. Like I went.
But that's really hard. It's hard, Britt.
Like, man, it's so hard. It is so hard. But like I went the other day, I can't remember where we were, and it depends on the food. I think I was using air dry food, and there was something exciting going on, and Maggie was like, she ate a treat and then she spat it out. Now, Vix and me would have probably cried in that moment and gone, she's stressed. Oh my God, she's stressed. Shove more food into her mouth. You must eat the food. Like, and freak out. And I was just like, okay, cool. You're not into the food right now. Something's competing with that. You're cool. And I just like sat down with her, scruffed her little head up and was like, what is it that is the issue for you? And then I saw that it was like a cat and a bush turkey, oh. like doing some weird things in bushes. And I was like, oh, that's
why. Jackpot.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's why you're doing weird things. And so I just started like stirring her up with my hands and like going, yeah, come on, let's play. Like, rah, rah, rah. And then she was fine. Mm. But it's just about being adaptive. You have to be adaptive every day with a puppy.
I think you also have to forgive yourself, like pre-forgive yourself. Just like if you get a puppy, you just have to know that you're just going to make mistakes. Like you'll have the off days and there'll just be times where you're like, oh, I'm never doing that again. Like that definitely did not work.
Yeah,
but 100%. Like, I think there's like a fear that you're going to break your puppy too. Like, oh my God, I've done this thing. I've done it completely wrong. And I've just totally, but like often if we can just take a breath, try again tomorrow.
And that's, we're asking our dogs to recover from stresses. So we've got to model that too. Like you're gonna do stupid shit. Like even very experienced dog trainers do stupid shit. How do you think dog trainers get good? It's because they've navigated through a heap of mistakes and stupid things they've done. And I can even like, I when I'm doing something stupid, it's like I'm having an out-of-body experience and I'm watching myself do it and I'm like, This is so dumb as I'm doing it. And I keep doing it. And I'm like, this is a mistake. Like, this is not wise. And then I think what happens is like maybe 60% of the time it works out fine. And I'm like reinforced for my behavior. So it's like the other 40% or 30 or 40% of the time that it's like a bit of a like shit show. And I'm like, whoa, like, oh, whoopsie. It's lucky that everyone's alive.
That's so funny. I can identify with that. Do you know, I've said so many times where like I've taken, so now I've started taking, getting them just because of my time schedule. Like I'm still, I have to work. Like I can't just like do dog stuff all day. Mm. So like I work my standard 9 to 5. So I try to get, I get my dog walk done before. So, and it's been easier to try and get like the dog, walk the dogs together. So Maggie's on a harness. The girls are on their flat collars. And like we do this, we change it up the walk, but we go, there's a part that we go past, we're past cafes and stuff. And the dogs have been fine like the whole time. Anyway, get to this cafe thing and Vixen's under my legs, Maggie's doing this. And I'm just like, guys, just come on. And I'm just like, you know, you've got multiple dogs and multiple leads and you get tangled once and you untangle yourself and a dog goes around the other way and you're all tangled. You just keep getting tangled. And then just when you're like, you've walked beautifully the entire time, you've had the best time, you've had it under control, you're boosting around, you've got this puppy that you're like, look how good my dog is, blah, blah, blah. Then somebody has the audacity to walk past and go, you got your hands full, don't you? And, you're like, and I just feel like, I'm going to stand my dogs and be under control. But like, I think where that comes from too, where, and this goes into puppy raising, is your ego, like letting go of your like need to be seen in a certain way and do a certain thing. And I think that's where, especially on the Pet Girl page, that's where my page is developed, is by like just showing some of the stuff that's just like so dumb and ridiculous and just going like, who cares? Like I think I once sent this video, did you guys see the video I posted where I had this Pomeranian and it was attached to a Flexi and it took off and I'm chasing it.
Yes.
Chasing it. chasing, and it's like running around in circles. And it took, that was years ago, and I was like, nah, stop it. That's so funny. I'm posting that.
Yeah.
Get over it. Like, it was hidden, buried deep in my hidden folder in my phone.
Yeah.
That was like, brilliant. That was such a great video. I'm so glad you shared that. It was so funny.
I dislike that dog very much. And no wonder it ran away.
I did the Pat Stewart boot camp last week.
Oh, yeah, you did too. How was that?
So good.
Oh, I was like, best week of your life. I'm jealous. I wish I could have gone.
Of my life.
Yeah.
So good. So I'm feeling very, like, you know, revitalized and knowledgeable and things. Because the whole week, like, you do the 2-day seminar on the weekend, and then we did like Monday to Friday, just living in this like madhouse with like Pat and 10 other people. And Kirsty from Leading Kirstie. Canine.
Oh,
and
she's so good. Yeah.
Her from Utility, like, just such good company. So we like had the mornings of theory and stuff. So throughout the week, you're just like bouncing ideas around, and like, really, like, you, like, Pat's like delivering the theory, but you're just asking questions and applying it to your context, and
so good.
Really deep dive stuff. And one of the things that came up was like choosing your dog and your next dog and whatever, that sort of stuff, just in conversation. And you know, there's people there that, like, they're sport dog people, and you know, dog trainers and stuff like that. And just like looking behind the curtain, I guess, on how do these like massive dog trainers, like famous dog trainers, whatever, they are handpicking their dogs. Like, it's, if you end up with the right dog, and I related this back to like the horse world, like, If you're a show jumper, and you get a horse that doesn't really like to jump, you don't jump that horse. Like, you don't then go to, like, try and take that horse to the Olympics.
Yeah, so, that's right.
You know, like, you're really looking into the breeding of the horse, the physical capacity of the horse, like, and you're buying the horse for the job. You're not just like going into the RSPCA and choosing whatever horse they have and being like, why aren't we going to the Olympics? Like, what
yeah,
the hell?
That's right.
So it's the same in the dog world. And I think, like, Pat was telling us, like, he knows a few people that have got these like mad dogs, but they've like bought them. Like, they found these dogs and bought them because that's a great, like, they've seen and understood this is a great dog. And they've like, how can I acquire this dog? You know, because that's what they do. That's what the military and police do and all that sort of stuff. So when you've got your everyday, you got your household, right? I think it's how it came up, actually. It's because Pat's retiring his dog and just like has to wait to get another dog, you know, because we're normal people that live in houses that are normal. And so you've got a capacity level for what dogs you have. So when you get a dog and you want it for a purpose, so let's say for argument's sake, it's a therapy dog and it's not quite right. So you've got, you know, you all usually got a 2-dog rule in the normal house blocks that we've got. So let's say, you know, you've got your 7 or 8-year-old dog that whatever family pet or whatever. Yeah, I know, I've got so many dogs. So if you've got that dog and then you go, oh, I want to do animal assisted therapy. Oh, the dog that I've got now is not right. That's okay, I'll get a puppy. And you just grab a puppy and you're just trying to develop that dog and it's not right. Now you're at capacity for your dogs. And so dogs are funny for us. Like, they're our pets first before they're our whatever
100%,
else.
100%.
Right? So now 100%. You've got your dog capacity in your house and it sounds crass that you're waiting for someone to die before you can try again. So that experience is very different to people who are, you know, they know how to choose a dog to begin with. They might even be buying a dog that's already been partially developed. They live on properties or whatever that, like, you know, I can have multiple dogs. Like, I could just keep buying dogs really if I want to do so. You know, like, it's one of those things that I think people maybe have unrealistic expectations on themselves and their new puppy as well, that some dogs just aren't there for it. Like it might be maybe something happens in the critical period or whatever, and there's some kind of experience that sends the puppy on a different path, or maybe genetically it was never going to be the case, or whatever happens. There's lots of things that can add to why this particular dog hasn't become like all these other dogs that you're seeing on Instagram or whatever, that are just like, they look sort of like my dog and they're a beautiful therapy dog. So what's wrong with my dog? You know, like
you have to pick, and this is something that is pretty like, you know, I think you have to forward think. So like, I think you pick your dog based on the livability for your own home first 100%. Before you pick a sport or performance dog. I mean, if you are like, you, dogs are your life and you're just picking, you know, you're picking a sport and performance dog and that's what you do and that's all you do and that's your thing, by all means, you do you. That's a different thing. But if you're a pet person and you're trying to develop a dog and you have a normal life, whether you have kids, you have a husband, wife, whatever, and you want a normal life, you need to pick your livability dog first. That's primary. Yeah. So like when we picked Maggie, so the way that Maggie, you know, went, her breeder, we looked at, I had trained multiple dogs from her specific breeder. I had, I knew the breeder quite well. I knew her clients. I knew the people that she was putting in her circle. And I was looking at, first and foremost, dogs that weren't being sold as they were coming out, like essentially, because that's what a lot of, when you've got a really popular dog breed like Staffies, you are looking at dogs that are, I guess, they're basically being sold at 1 or 2 days old, and I didn't want that. I wanted a dog that I wanted to see what their personality was like. I wanted to see where they were at. And so this is where we didn't find out that we were getting Maggie until I think it was like 6.5, 7 weeks of age. And we had watched her, and we had picked her from the get-go. Like we in our minds were like, this is the dog that we think we were watching. And I was sort of watching, and she was the traits that I wanted. Like in my mind, I'm like, I want the crazy one. I want the psycho one. I want the whatever. But then that's my dog trainer brain going, I want the like, I don't care one. But the dog that I really wanted was the dog that, hey, is independent, that doesn't need other dogs to like, can just go off and do its own thing. We needed a dog that isn't like a bull in a china shop with other dogs, and we needed a dog that, hey, is intelligent and smart and is going to one day be a part of a family with children, because that's our goal is to have a family. So it happened, like the way that it happened, you know, and she does a bunch of tests to see if the dogs are suitable or not for different things. And she said to me, she said she had sort of nailed one that she wanted, which was a really, really, really confident one. And she's like, I want to take this one on. This is going to stay with me. And there were two other females. And she said, look, I would recommend that you go with this one. This other one's a little less confident and probably... yeah, probably not what you're after, but I also think that this middle of the range one is the best option, which is Maggie, because I think the other girl that's full on is going to be too much. And even today I talk to the breeder and we have conversations, and we always talk about the dog's development, and the one that she kept is a bull at a gate with dogs. And my breeding breeds wouldn't have been able to handle that. So I'm really grateful that we got Maggie in the process, that we got her, and we had an, you know, but we picked the livable dog first. We wanted the livable dog first. We didn't want, and I guess that's where I kind of went. I mean, with Vixen on paper, what I asked for is exactly what I got. Like the breeder did, like she read the piece of paper and I knew her, and I worked, like I helped raise those little puppies somewhat. And she's exactly the dog that I wanted, but I didn't know what I wanted back then. That's the thing. I looked back and I was like, that's not what I didn't want that. But she's the best, like she's the best of what she is. Like, although Vixen is like full on and she requires a lot, and she's, you know, she has a lot, she's also super obedient. She's also, she can just chill out. Most of the day she sits at home and does absolutely nothing. So it's all about understanding what it is that you want in your future house as an adult dog, and not the pressure of work, but livable dog first is the key point. Do you want to take your dog on holidays? Do you want to be able to leave your dog?
Yeah, this is what we just have started our breeder education program, which is like a little short course that breeders can do so that they can learn about like what's a therapy dog and what are we looking for in the dogs and how do you temperament evaluate what when they're doing their evaluations, what kind of things are we sort of looking for? Because I think there was a little bit of maybe confusion about what a therapy dog is. And even educating like the difference between assistance dogs and therapy dogs, because lots of people don't know. And so the client or the buyer of the puppy is saying to the breeder, I want a therapy dog. But what they actually mean is they want an assistance dog. But the puppy traits that I want in an assistance dog are actually almost opposite to what I'm looking for in a therapy dog. Yeah. So how are we making good choices about placing these dogs when we're not actually all talking the same language? So we've got this little program and we've got all these breeders that are like going through like the little lectures and the quizzes and things like that. It's very cute. It's very cute. So I was talking to one of the breeders. So she emailed me after she did the course. She's like, loved it. But I just got like questions about some terminology. And I was like, yeah, I'll ring you at this time because I'm driving home. So I can just like chat. And I was just chatting away to her. And I was trying to explain exactly that of like, so the first, and I made them a, so I know breeders have their own questionnaires that they give people. But I made them one that's like, so add this on to yours. But the most important thing is that you get a dog that can live with this family for the next 15 years, because regardless of whether or not it's going to be a therapy dog, it's going to be living with this family for the next 15 years. So that's our ultimate goal for every single dog and every single family, is that you can live together in harmony. And it's exactly that, Brit. Like, so they've got kids. So, but what are their kids like? Like, you know, like, well, they've got whatever going on, or they, you know, work from home or they don't, or like all these different things, that the dog's got to match that first. And then we do everything we can to develop the dog into a therapy dog role. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, you're not going to really care, because that's your special baby and you love them so much, and what they don't want to do it. So you don't want them to do it, you know, like that's, it just, right. It's a totally different that's mindset. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's okay. 100%. Yeah, like it's okay if they don't work out to be a therapy dog when you're so happy with your dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're your dog first. Like, and it's with any dog sports, you know, like they're your dog first before you're running them around a ring or before you're jumping over stuff or whatever. They are your dog first.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that all goes back right around back to the pressure that we put on dogs and put on puppies in particular. And that's probably my biggest regret with Vixen, is that I wish I had treated her like just my dog first, because I think I was so in my mind, I was like, I just don't want one of these like screaming agility dogs that has an inability to be in a crate, has an inability to be, you know, in a cafe, has an inability to be in another group of dogs without being reactive. Like, and I was like, I am so determined to have a dog that can do those things and be an agility dog and do this. And admittedly, she can be. Like, I went to agility training on like not last week and the weekend before, just like a one-off, and the instructor said to me, oh geez, you're not like the others. And it's
no.
She just went in the crate and just laid down and was like, yeah, okay. Occasionally she needs the oi, like knock it off. But like, do you know, she comes out, she does her work and she goes back in. Like, and that's what I sort of wanted. But yeah, I think paying attention to not putting pressure on yourself and on your dog. And we've missed this point, but I think this is a big, big, big one. Not putting pressure on your partner, your husband, your wife, or the people around you to be psycho like you. Because I learned really, really quick. I was like, I was so passionate about raising Maggie with Rob and us doing that collectively together. Because with Vixen, I raised her essentially on my own. Whereas I wanted to be a part of the raising experience with Rob because he loves dogs so much. He loves Staffies so much. And also he has more knowledge than me about Staffies. He raised one before me. He's one up from me. So I'm like, I can learn some things.
It's a test run for when you have a baby. So, you know.
Exactly.
So it's, yeah, and that's right. We want to raise it together. We want to have a crack at this together. And I distinctively remember this event. It was like the second or third day that we had Maggie and I went out to go do something and Rob yelled and was like, he's like, oh, Maggie's weed on a pillow. And I remember being, and at that point I'd been like perfect track record.
Strap
I was
onto
like,
it. Yeah.
I'm smashing this. And he'd ruined my track record. And I was like, oh, what? Why? How? And he was like, He got a bit upset because I was so intense with him. And I'm like, who freaking cares? Like, and it was in that moment I was like, do you know what? Bigger picture stuff, I would much rather do this with him. And I want to empower him because he has really useful insight. Like, he's one of the first people that, that I've been able to have one of these like conversations with, like deep conversations at late at night and be like, you know, talk about dog behavior or talk about whatever. And he actually can contribute to it. And I don't want to stunt that. I don't want to ruin that for him. So when you're raising a puppy, particularly if you're thinking in your mind that you want to raise one for a therapy dog or whatever, don't put a bad and a sour taste in your family member's mouth because you are so anal about everything. Sometimes it's not worth the fight. Sometimes it's not worth the nitpicking because it doesn't really matter in the bigger scheme of things.
Yeah.
And there are things that he does where I'm like, but whatever. He's got his own process and he's got his own vibe and his own things. And sometimes we don't agree on things and that's okay.
That's a great point. That's honestly such a great point because even though you might be getting that dog to be a therapy dog, for the rest of the family, that dog's not the therapy dog. That dog is the family dog. And if you get in the way, if you get too stressed about whether the dog's going to be a therapy dog, then they're not going to be able to bond with their family dog. So, absolutely important.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
The whole thing becomes the dog. Then the other family members start resenting the dog.
Yeah.
And then that's not good because then everything that the dog does that's wrong is now not only like, hey, you're supposed to be training this dog. Why aren't you getting onto this? Do you know what I mean? So you really want the best case scenario is that everybody, like, don't get me wrong. I know it's challenging when you've got kids and they're trying to like step in and do stuff. And you're like, you're ruining everything I've been doing. But especially with partners, I think partners are a big one. I think that is a big one. That's the biggest lesson I've learned. And I do genuinely try my hardest not to be the dog trainery one, like all the time, and not to be like, well, you should be doing it like this or you should be doing it like that. Like, and there are times that, like I said, I definitely break that by accident, but I genuinely don't mean it. And I think that's, we all need to take a bit of that. And that's a big lesson that I've learned that I think more people need to take on board.
Rob sounds like he's like on board though too. So
he's like awesome.
My partner is too. Like he's like we got this LGD pup. So he's like, I don't have to be a psycho. Like, you know, and I like feel for people if you've got someone who's actively dismantling things, that is very challenging to deal with. And it is often the kids that are dismantling everything, and it is super challenging. So I don't want people to feel like, oh god, like I'm over
being
top.
Horrible.
Yeah, but I fully agree to Britt. Like, there's things that I like, you've gotta find that happy medium.
Yeah, you do.
On like, because it's no fun for the dog either. Like,
that's right.
If we can't compromise as this dog's advocates, then how, the dog's not going to get consistency because no one's doing it fully my way. And I'm sure as shit not doing it their way. So the dog's getting like this binary way of things that are going on. So I think if we can just adjust things a bit, and I like spend a lot of time talking to our puppy parents about adjusting their expectations of, well, no, so the kids are going to keep doing that. So you're either going to have to do this with the dog, or you're just going to have to cop it for a bit. And it's going to take just a bit longer to sort that out down the track. But if you're just not in such a rush, then we can kind of live more cohesively in the meantime while we're trying to build a dog back out of whatever.
In my experience, it is so important to – I see dogs become such a sticking point in relationships. And I remember when I used to do behavior modification sessions that two people just couldn't – it's just like they both love the dog and there's no question about that, but they've got very different ideas about how the dog should be and what the dog should do. And I think sometimes – like there's behaviors that I'm sure Rob looks at me and thinks like, what are you doing? Like, for example, when we go out and I take Maggie out, if I'm handling the lead, Maggie says hello to nobody. Like we're not here. I already know that she loves people. That's not going anywhere. What she needs to develop is engagement and impulse control. Mm-hmm. And I remember we're out at a football game and we had Maggie and I'd said, oh no, Matt, sorry, can't pat her. Maggie's practicing, you know, it's not saying hello to people. I still want to talk to you. How's your night been? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I don't know how you do it. He's like, I just don't know how you do it. Cause I can imagine, he's taken her out a couple of times and I can seriously imagine him just, this little puppy and this little thing, it'd be a total spectacle. I'm just going to say it. This hot fireman with his staffy and a pink collar. That's all I'm saying. All right. But, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I can imagine it's a spectacle. I can imagine him walking around and whatever. But, like, do you know what?
Just
like,
walking straight off the pages of one of those fireman calendars.
Sam, I'll send you one of the couple of years ago calendar.
You can slide into my DMs with that.
Anyway, but like I can imagine, and I just have to, like, as much as in my mind I'm like, you're ruining it. I've been working on abstinence for whatever. Who cares? He's enjoying the dog and that's the main thing. And I've learned that's something that I've learned with Maggie, that I need to sometimes just if you're the person handling the dog that wants the dog to be this thing, you just have to take a step back sometimes and realize that life is more about watching the people that you love be happy. And like, sometimes I swear to God, he does things and I'm like, I'm going to kill you. Like, why are you doing that? You know? And let him do his thing. Like, just let him love the dog and just let him. And that's, like I said, that is a big lesson that I have learned that has impacted the way Maggie's raised now for the better, 100% for the better. And it's going to be so helpful when we have children, like human children. He'll be fun dad and I'll be mean mum. That's what I said to him. I said to him like 2 weeks ago, I was like, when we have children, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be fun dad and you're going to walk through the door and the kids are going to be like, bleh, bleh, and I'm going to be mean mum that makes all the rules. And you know what? I'm okay with that. The house will be clean and the children will be fed and well-educated. Nah, sure. Anyway.
That's funny. That comes up because I actually was talking about this the other day, that like imagine if you think about your childhood and like your parents, or even like parental figures, no one has two of the exact same parent or two or three or what, you know what I mean? Like, imagine if you did, like, that'd be
weird. That's right. Yeah. That's such a good point. I've never thought of that. That is such a good point. I have two opposite parents. Right? Yeah.
But you go to, or so anyone that's listening that's like, whatever, that can't relate, think of just like your people in your life, like your go-to people. You go to the person who you need for this problem at this time, and then you go 100%. To that person that you need for that problem at that time. So if everyone was the same, where the fuck are you going to go when you've got a certain
true.
Right? So we need this like divergence and disparity, like these sorts of things going on in our lives, because that's what's going on inside of you, you know, like 100%. You have different things happening inside you at different times that you need different perspectives, or, you know, that sort of thing on. And like I was using the, like, you know, 1950s household example of like, you go to mum to get this level of, you know, nurturing or parenting or this sort of thing, or like, you know, I've hurt myself or whatever. And you go to dad to get fun or this or, you know, whatever, that sort of stuff. But it's like, yeah, so if mum says no, should I ask dad? And then you're weighing up like the pros and cons. Like, I wonder if they've already spoken about it.
I like when I would have told the dogs off for something or whatever, and then Rob does something and he goes, no, your mother said no. And like, they look at him like, and then I'm like, that's right, we're in this together. Often joke to Maggie, and like when she tries to get away with something, she tries to get away with something that I've like said, like tried to enforce, and then Rob like stops her, and I always am like, I always look at him and I look at her and I go, that's right, we are a team first, you are going down. Like,
it's two of us and one of you.
That's it, 100%. And like, I think that's important. Like, do you know, in an ideal world, the dog would have like crystal clear clarity. But at the same time, do you know, I've kind of shifted my thinking a little bit with like clarity in the home. So like, yeah, in an ideal world, it's black and white. The dog gets it. They either are allowed to do something or they're not allowed to do something. But in the real world, there are so many things that change. And sometimes you like, we all have to be adaptable. And I think in particular with puppies, like you try your best to be consistent, but like, I think having a little bit of like, creates a bit of resilience.
Yeah.
Because the dog's like,
adaptability.
Adaptability. Oh, whoa, that's not predictable. Oh, okay, well, what are we doing now? And like, I think where you try to make it too sterile for a puppy, you almost lose their ability to be able to cope with the normal life. And that's where like people, especially with people with reactive dogs, you know, like when they go out into the street and they're walking, they're trying to create these like mega sterile environments that aren't real.
It's not real.
Like, who would have predicted that a 6-foot inflatable T-Rex was going to come running at me? Like,
outrageous.
No one could have. It was outrageous.
Outrageous.
But like, you just never know what you're going to get. And I think that we have to prepare our dogs to be like resilient and confident, but like resilient is the main thing. Like I said today, like I started this conversation with Vixen, she's a different breed of dog and she's never going to not notice things and go, whoa, hey, everyone alert the media. That thing is not meant to be there. But what it is her comeback from that. And can she go, when I say, dude, it's fine, we are cool, can she just like go, okay, you said it's cool, we're good. Fine.
Yeah. Yes.
I think also context. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes we don't give our dogs enough credit for understanding the differences when no means no and when sometimes it's a yes. And like,
yeah.
Obviously, with puppies, maybe a bit more black and white can help for the early training sessions. But you know, like Saturday night. Like everyone on the couch watching a movie might be different from
pizza night.
Hopping on your couch on a Wednesday and no one else is there. Like, no, get off. Or no, you can hop on the couch when everyone's on the couch. Like the context. And dogs pick up on that. Like,
and dog trainers will be listening to me like, oh my God, like, no, everything has to be like,
I know.
Very
I was
clear
just thinking, I was just literally depends, just thinking that.
It just depends what you're trying to achieve. So I just spent the whole week at Pat Camp and like those Mallies doing their bite work and all that sort of shit. Like, yeah, I'm going to communicate pretty fucking clearly because this thing's going to bite my face off. Like, I'm going to get this pretty correct. But when you're talking about pet dogs and really therapy dogs, absolutely. It's that adaptability is number one on the list. Like being able to go with the flow and that sort of stuff. And if you've got a cruisy, like think about your typical like lab, whatever, your pet lab. They're like, whatever. Like, okay. Like, what are we? Yeah.
They're such good dogs.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Oh, we're doing this now. cool, I'm in. Son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah. So, goddamn son of a bitch, I'm in.
So if you've got a problem with your dog and you're trying to address a problem with your dog or the
dog.
That's
different. That's a different story.
It's a different story altogether. But if you're just cruising along and you're just loving your dog and that sort of stuff, the message to come across is that, you know, hey, everything's not actually going to be the same all the time. It's not going to be that way. And it is especially the case for therapy dogs, because you can have as much language as you want around your dog. But when that dog goes to work with you and they're interacting with the client, the student, or whoever, guess what language they're talking? However they talk to their dog at home that your dog's not privy to. So they play with your dog the way they play with their dog. They talk to your dog the way they talk to their dog. They will correct your dog the way they correct their dog, which we don't allow, but it happens where they'll try and correct a dog and that sort of stuff. So because they just do that with their dog at home. But my dog has to be able to read the room and go like, hey, I reckon you're down for this kind of play. And I think you're down for this. And you seem like you know, they've got to actually be able to read the room on that stuff. And if you've had a very, like Britt was saying, a very sterile environment where it's very
open. Makes it hard.
It's really hard. A great example of this is Winter, the aged mare Brumby that I got. If you do something with her the same way three times, the fourth time, if you change it, she's not happy. It's a tantrum from her because she's so strict on like, okay, well, you said it was this. And I'm like, whoa. I was just trying to show you that so I could show you this. And she's like, no. You said it was this. And I'm like, okay. All right. Everybody lower your weapons. Put your feet back on the ground. Everything's fine. But she needs, so on the second time, I have to incrementally
change it a bit.
Yeah, I have to keep the ball rolling on things for her because otherwise she'll get very concrete. But do you know what? Pros and cons, strengths and limitations.
Mm. I was just about to say that.
Strengths and limitations. That's how I domesticated her because she was 11 when she was trapped. So she now is like a house yard pet. And I go, like, let it. She wants to go in the house yard because it's got the best grass. But in the morning, you need to have your feed. So I'll open the house yard. Like, okay, you can come in today. Yep, no worries. And I'm like, in your yard, please. Like, she can talk. In your yard, please, Winter. And I'm like going over to the barn and she's like just eating some grass. And I walk over towards the barn. She knows that she's got to go in the yard to get her bucket of feed. But I'm like talking to her like she understands me. And I'm like, okay, come on. In your yard. Okay, good girl. Love you.
Like, I love that.
Like as if she's listening to me. But really she's like, the routine is you let me in. You're going to be, I'll go into the yard. But it looks like she's this like mad liberty trick trained horse. And I keep trying to video it, but like I'm just living in the moment all the time. So
you're like this.
Yeah. Like literally.
Me today.
Yeah. I'm like, today she's doing it. She's doing it. Get the phone out. But I'm like, no.
I've got the Blair Witch project on my phone right now.
I'm in my pajamas with yesterday's makeup all over my face. So this is not going to be the day that we can record this content.
Oh yeah, it all goes back down to like puppy selection too, you know, and just going back to that, like I think there's times where, you know, like Vixen's a single event learner and, you know, she is very like, we're doing it like this and this is how it happened and this is how you showed me and now I can't get rid of that. Mm. Whereas I find, you know, staffies are just like, what did we even do? I don't really remember. Let's like. Yeah. So it's just all about going back. Yeah. Like full
Today's
circle.
A new day.
Yeah. I think we went into the weeds there. I don't know if we talked about puppies all that much. Sorry, Max.
I just think that it's a rounded conversation because there there's lots of ways to talk about developing a dog, and we've, you know, everyone's talking about choosing the right breed and that sort of stuff, and yeah, cool, get the dog that's right for the job and that sort of stuff. But I think the actual, like Lee said, like in the actual, in the weeds of bringing this dog home and living with it and everything that you're going through as this dog's parent and trying to navigate, how do I meet all of your needs but at the same time not completely lose my mind?
Yeah.
It is hard, and I just want the message to come across that it's hard.
That's the biggest part of puppy raising, is really, it's like a proper come to Jesus moment with yourself. That's what I think. And I think I've learned so much. I learned so much about myself. I've learned so much about myself in the last 16 weeks than I have, or like in the last 8 weeks it will be actually, in the last 8 weeks than I have, you know, for ages. And so much, again, I learned so much about myself with Vixen as a puppy and even as Binti as a puppy. Like, and you just learn each time and you get better. But please know, for the people listening that have puppies that are like dying right now, it's normal to feel like you're dying and drowning. We all feel like we're dying and drowning. So it's fine. Just don't put pressure on yourself. Don't scare off the people around you from your craziness, and just enjoy your dog. Like, enjoy them, let them be themselves. Don't stifle their little personalities. Just have fun with them.
I couldn't agree more. Growing them into themselves is so important, that if you've got, like Britt saying, if you've got the right breed, that sort of thing, that's covered, whatever. Letting that little puppy grow into itself without like really capping them on some stuff that we think makes us a bit nervous, or this puppy is like full on or whatever. I know this is really hard, but you need to, if you're not sure and you're, you know, second guessing and that sort of stuff, A, it's normal. B, get a second set of eyes. Like Britt mentioned that she rings her trainer friends. I'm talking to trainers. So this LGD, like, I'm out of my depth with this dog. Like, it's new to me. Like, if you gave me a Labrador to raise into a therapy dog, I'd be like in my sleep, like 100%. This thing's different, you know, and it's hard, and I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm talking to other trainers, I'm talking to other breeders and things like that, because I'm just trying to check in, like, what are, like, we're doing with this dog. But it's a homestead LGD, so it's on another level even then, again, because it's things that I saw this person post in one of the Anatolian Shepherd groups today or yesterday or something, and they're like, oh, my dog needs whatever vaccination, but I can't touch it. Can't touch the dog.
What do we do? Oh, no.
And I'm like, dark gun? I don't know. Like, I don't know how to help you with this. What is that? What? But that's the reality of, like, some LGDs when they get just put out with the stock, because their main job's the stock, blow dart.
That's it.
Your vaccination. Good luck.
You're like hiding in the bushes, and you just like
with your camouflage. You dress up like a goat.
Yeah.
You got to wear like a sheep. Goat. Yeah.
And the dog's like. Anyway, another segment of go to the YouTube channel and watch it.
Yeah. See, Brit's a reenactment of a dog getting blow darted.
Darted. Blow darted. And then going to sleep. Thanks
today. So this sort of stuff is like, you know, that person got that dog and they developed it into those traits, and that is I'm sure that dog is an excellent livestock guardian dog, but you can't put a hand on it. So, and there's heaps of them like that. Whereas some people have gone like really far down the I want to be able to handle the dog route, and now it's not really bonded or guiding the livestock. Like, it's, you've got to balance this stuff out. And this is the stage that I'm in at the moment. So I know what it's like when you're trying to like really go, oh man, like a little from column A, a little from column B. And to really reiterate that point of, I keep coming back to who is the dog that I'm willing to live with for the next 15 years?
That's it.
What will I live with? What makes me happy? Because I'm not going to rehome this dog. Like, if it doesn't work out to be exactly what I want, I'm not going to rehome this dog. I love her. Like, that's not me. I've got no hard feelings against anyone that does do that at all. I think you're very sensible if you can, you know, do that kind of thing. I'm
gonna do
terrible
what's right for you.
Exactly. I'm terrible at it. So, you know, the feels, got it all there. Have fun developing your puppies, guys. Like, really enjoy it. They are only babies for the shortest time ever.
And then you'll be wishing to come back to that time once it's over. Once looking through all the photos goes. And there's, oh, the puppy breath, the puppy smell.
Mate, I don't know. You guys are weird. They smell nice. Their heads smell nice. But, like, the puppy breath thing, nah, not my thing. I'm like, get away from me. Do you see a cat shit?
It.
Go away.
Oh, no, it can be all over my face.
I love it.
Oh, gross.
I can't remember if I've said this before, but my partner found, like, I came back from somewhere and he was like, oh, I think this is one of the cat's claws or something. It's like, it's in our bedroom. It was a Kiki's tooth. This thing's got some fangs on her. She's a fangy girl. And I'm like, that's a puppy tooth. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, how'd that get in here? He's like, I don't know.
I was like the little mud prints, like the little paws and things like that. Like, sometimes I get in my car and there's like in our car, like the thing, and there's like these tiny little paw prints across my like windscreen. My bullseye. What are you doing? One time I came out and she was asleep on the top of my car. I'm like, you cat, I just. Too much.
Dougie leaves toys.
He's worked out how to use a dog door, so it's like a whole nother podcast. But anyway, whatever.
Oh, I had that. I had that issue
out of
too.
Control. It's just out of control.
A nightmare.
Animal. Anyway.
And on that note, everyone, just so you know, all of these dog trainers that you talk to and all that stuff, our households are chaotic.
Chaotic.
Fucking chaos, mate. The shit that goes on here on a daily basis, I'm like, what? I just can't even, there's not enough Instagram stories space in the world for me to like truly express the amount of shit that goes down in this place on a daily basis. And we're all talking to each other about this stuff all the time. So, you know, if it's chaos at your house too, we know. We get it. You can tell us.
You had a whole Steve Irwin moment as well, Sam, not that long ago with the python.
My dog called this python.
Like,
it was like a 3-meter python. And my dogs so are big. Like, it had like just slithered out of the paddock next door because I'm harrowing in the paddock, like, you know, as I do. So I must have disturbed it. And Sunny and Nala are standing at the rainwater tank, just barking. And I'm like, that's weird. Like, why are they barking at the rainwater tank? So I get off my little buggy and I come over there. This thing is an anaconda.
Huge.
And I'm like, dogs, get away. And they're like, buck, 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 buck. And I'm like, get the fuck away from the snake, you idiot. And they're like, buck, buck, buck. And I'm like, bloody hell. Stupid dogs.
When... you capitalize on having a blow dart.
That's exactly it. I was like, man, Britt, I don't know if you saw these stories, but I picked this thing up and it pooped all over me. It was ridiculous.
I don't know. I can't even deal. I have one photo of me holding a snake in my whole life, and it was my best friend Julia's snake called Belinda. And I held it. His name is Belinda. And I was like this. It's the only photo that ever exists of me. I appreciate snakes from afar. I think they're beautiful animals, but just you stay over there and you don't come near me when I'm doing my thing. And I just, that's it. That's how
this thing was
life.
A goat/chicken size eating snake. And
huge.
I was like, listen, mate.
I just couldn't believe you were picking it up. Like,
you're a lunatic.
He's got to go. It's gonna go.
And then you're like, no, not over to the neighbors. And then over that way.
I
not
had to put it over the top of the fence.
I would have got my jerry can on the back. I would have gone.
Brett lights it on fire. It just slithers back into the forest on fire and sets the whole forest on fire.
I'm not setting it on fire. I'm setting the property on fire. The whole thing. That's it. The house.
Well, it would probably be on fire as well then.
An anaconda at my house can't handle that.
I'll send you the video. It's pretty funny.
No, don't give me nightmares. Don't do it. I'll have anxiety.
All right, we've got to let everybody go because we're just listening to nonsense now. Follow the Pet Girl for all your puppy raising hacks. Maggie's being raised at the moment. And the photos and videos and tips that are on there, honestly, go back. This is, what's the date? The 8th of August, and Maggie's 17 weeks old. So you need 8th of August, 2024.
I posted from her first day.
Absolutely. You need to look at the playpens that Britt has made. They're very epic. Enrichment stuff, different surfaces, different things, all confidence building stuff, all that stuff. Diet, that sort of stuff is all
fresh
in there.
Fresh food, feeders. Yeah. That Facebook group's amazing.
Have a look
my page, if you want to try and find me on Facebook, because I was weird when I made my Facebook page, it's @ I am the pet girl. So it's the same with my Instagram. If you just search the pet girl, some weird show comes up. So it's @ I am the pet girl.
Thanks so much for having me, ladies.
Thanks, Britt.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in studying with Therapy Dogs Australia, or you have a few more questions before deciding, please get in touch with us by emailing courses@therapydog.com.au or visiting our website at www.therapydog.com.au for more information and FAQs.